Replay, reflect, believe. More of God's Word for walking in faith every day of the week.
We pray that you are inspired to read the scripture further and to continue attending your local church. When in Philadelphia, you're welcome to join us for worship at Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121, Sundays at 11 a.m. Now it's time to enjoy today's message.
And I believe God has assigned us to be here on this morning in this moment. And because we were faithful to be here, he'll be faithful to join us and to bless us. Amen. Amen. So glad for that. Listen, let us pray. Oh, Lord, how magnificent is your name in all the earth. You're the creator of the earth, the heavens, everything that is in them. Your glory shines bright. And our heart today is seeking you for your comfort and your purpose. Make us to know your ways, O Lord. Teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. For we wait for you all the day long. And so, Father, we turn this service into your hands. Speak the word which draws us nearer to you. We love you and praise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Our scripture today, we're going to be in Matthew, the fourth chapter. So we're just backing up from where we were last week. Amen. We're going to go all the way to the front of the chapter, and we'll start it at that first verse. So we're in Matthew, the fourth chapter, and we're going to start at the first verse. This may be familiar to some. It is one of those Sunday school lessons. Amen. And here we find Jesus having recently been baptized by John. And now he is going into the wilderness for a period of temptation. Verse one, it reads like this. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And saints of God, as we review this passage of scripture today, I just want to speak from this subject. Every word matters.
Amen.
Amen. Every word matters. And listen, I saw a t-shirt yesterday and I God, he kind of drew my attention to it. It said, start with Jesus.
Amen.
Right. I saw it. It drew my attention, said, start with Jesus. And so we're here this morning. Right. So God blessed us to rise with our mind stayed on Jesus. And we're starting our day with Jesus. Right. In fact, it's Sunday. It's the first day of the week. And so we're starting our week with Jesus. Right. And because this is kind of like the first week of the summer, we just really might be starting our summer with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And I think that puts us on a good path. All right. If we start with Jesus, look, take a look at this, including today, there are 10 weeks or 10 Sundays of summer. All right. So just the way we do all of our summer planning, right? We got to see how do we start? How do we plan this thing out with Jesus? Amen. We've got travel. One thing my wife and I have always done, even when we would travel, if we were going to be somewhere on Sunday, we made sure we had a church that we knew we were going to be in that Sunday.
Amen.
Might not have been our home church, right? But the only reason that happened, because we planned it out this way. Amen.
Yes.
Listen, we might have beach plans. Cookout plans, reunion plans, summer concert plans, Penn's Landing or Fairmont Park, right? Maybe if the Lord moves our way, we might even fall into some vacation plans.
Amen.
Right? And we need all of those outlets. We need all of these events. We need summer 2025 to be one that we remember. Don't cancel anything, right? You can still plan this thing out with Jesus. Just start with him, right? So one thing, and it's been mentioned a few times, and I do have a couple extra printed copies that are on the front row, just in case you didn't get one the first time. But I want you guys to consider this summer reading club, okay? I've got you a starter list. You can choose something off of here. Listen, this is both printed books, and audio books. So you can go whichever way that works for you. And many of them are available through the Free Library of Philadelphia. So I just want you to, you know, that's what that is. And want you guys to get that, get in line with that. I picked up a book myself. I'm going to be reading a book called The Gospel-Driven Church by Jared Wilson. So I'm about 17 pages in. All right. So look, this is the way I'm looking at it. I said, I got 10 weeks. Right? I'm pacing it out. I got 10 weeks. One way or another, I'm going to get through that. Hopefully another one as well if I get the audio book worked in. So, you know, listen, the Word of God, it comes for us and we're encouraged in it. And sometimes, especially because, you know, there's a little pressure now because I'm talking about a book club, right? The Word of God can appear like a chore. Right? Something, it's an obligation. It's something we got to do. But listen, sometimes it may seem like work, but we need to understand sometimes the rest we might need might be found in Psalm 116 and 7. We might find that the peace we need is found in Psalm 4 and 8. Just maybe the mental health that we need is found in Philippians 4 and 7. We need to dive into the Word of God. Okay, the Bible itself is God's letter written to humankind. God wrote this book to you. Amen. And in 2025, we have access to it in print form, smartphone apps, internet browsers, audio books, podcasts, YouTube, Apple Music, or Spotify. It's translated into almost every language on the planet, and you may have more than one copy at your house. Amen. The Word of God is available to us. Amen. Especially, look, like I said, you can, and this is what I mean about it being ready for us. You can go on YouTube and you can type in Matthew, the 4th chapter, amen, right? And something's going to read it back to you. All right. So, so we're going to take the chore out of it. And where I'm getting to this morning, what I want you to know is that God's word matters. And if you can understand that, if you can go with me there, understanding that God's word matters, then maybe you can follow me further when I say that reading God's word or having it read over you matters. Amen. So if God's word is important, if God's word matters, then reading God's word matters. And then what we see in our text and what we'll glean from Matthew chapter 4 is that every word matters. Amen? Every word. And it's okay if you're like me, that you, because you're reading, you might be speed reading sometimes. You don't catch every word. But it's when you go back to it another time, something that you read last year, but now you're reading it this year and you slow down a little bit and you catch a word that you didn't catch the last time and you find out that word mattered. Amen. Amen? So here we are. We're in Matthew, the 4th chapter. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. Amen? Amen. Every word matters. Matthew chapter 4 is an important lesson for every believer. Here, after having been baptized and having fasted, Jesus has this interaction with the devil. Your version may call him Satan. And the narrative is in the form of a conversation, but it really is nothing less than a spiritual attack. All right? The word devil in Greek means accuser. Likewise, the word Satan in Hebrew means accuser. All right. So in this first section of the text, the accuser begins by questioning who Jesus is. He's trying to question his identity, trying to catch Jesus while he might have been distracted, while the pains of hunger may have weakened him. The accuser says, if you are the Son of God. That's so often how a spiritual attack will begin in our own life. The accuser will question who Jesus is to us. We call him Savior, Messiah, Emmanuel, King of Kings. We call him our everything, our healer, our deliverer, our all in all. We call him the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star. We call him Jesus, the Son of God, the risen Savior. And we do that, and we do it with personal attachment. Because it was this Jesus that when we lived through our darkness, we were lost until he found us, and until faith gave us grace that we could step forward and call on his name, and the forgiveness for our sins rushed over us, and the restoration of our relationship with Father God came back into place. We believed on the name of Jesus, and we were blessed. Amen. So we have personal attachment. We know who he is. We know what we know. But the accuser will come in and he wants to question who God is, who Jesus is. He knows who God is. The accuser does. He knows who we are as children of God. And so he begins his spiritual attacks on us in the same way that he does on Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. All right? So now you can see it. Right? Now you can see it. Now that you see it from that framework, when these attacks are coming from, you now know where they're coming from. Amen? He says, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. He looks at us in our weakened physical state, maybe hungry, maybe spiritually distracted, and the accuser will question who Jesus is to us. We may miss it at a point in time when we might have some physical needs that are coming at us. The accuser, the tempter, seeks to twist the word of God. But if we answer like Jesus does, Jesus clarifies and he references scripture first, coming from Deuteronomy 8:3. He's saying it is written. He gives him this scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. We need every word, not only because it is the bread of life, but because the word of God is the remedy to a spiritual attack. Jesus does not come against Satan by force. He doesn't rise up, get in Satan's face. But at the same time, he doesn't ignore him. He addresses this spiritual attack, and he does it with the clarity of the scripture. Amen? We need to know that this is a common tool of the enemy. This is why in Ephesians 6:11-12, right? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen? Because somebody may tell you that spiritual attacks don't really happen. But we can go to Ephesians, and he told us to put on our armor, amen, that we might be prepared. In verse 17 of that same chapter, it says, take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What is your weapon against a spiritual attack? It's the word of God. Amen. We need every word. Every word that comes from the mouth of God, every word that comes from the Holy Scripture, we find in the text that although Jesus answers Satan, there was no rebuttal from Satan. He didn't say, okay, he didn't push that argument any further. Amen. There was no debate. And so Satan had to move on to his next area of deception. Right. The text, verse 5, it says, then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Amen. So he's coming at this spiritual attack from another way. Here, Jesus had used scripture. And so maybe the accuser thought he would introduce some scripture as well. Sometimes a spiritual attack will come through the misuse of scripture. All right. Psalm 91. This is where Satan had come from. It was Psalm 91 where it reads, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And so maybe the accuser thought that Jesus might want to show off that day. Satan is still challenging the identity of Jesus, but this time he's challenging Jesus to use his sonship with God in the wrong way. Amen. Listen, I'll just throw this in. As children of God, we cannot just do what we want to do. Amen. Sometimes, you know, if your dad is Shaq, right, you might go to the playground and do what you want to do. Say, no, you're going to have to work. You're going to show off because they're going to have to deal with your daddy. But no, that's not what he's doing here. He's not using his sonship in the wrong way. Note, the other thing is Satan had brought him to the high point of the temple, telling Jesus to cast himself down. But notice, Satan did not push Jesus from the high point of the temple and wait and see if the angels would appear, because Satan would not dare to touch the Son of God. He does not have the authority to touch Jesus. And if you are a believer, a child of God, he does not have the authority to touch you unless you allow him. Amen. Sometimes in a spiritual attack, the accuser will tempt you to get you in a situation that you weren't meant to be in. And all along, he's telling you that if it gets real bad, well, you know, God is going to save you before you really get hurt. He's telling you, get as close to the fire as you want. You're not going to get burned. He's going to pull you back, right? Satan may not bring you to the high point of the temple, but maybe the accuser tells you to get that woman's phone number who's not your wife. But not to worry, because God will save you before you fall. Maybe he doesn't bring you to the high point of the temple, but maybe he tells you to go ahead and buy that car that costs more than what you think you can afford. Because if the payment gets too far behind, you won't have to worry. God will not allow you to get repossessed. There's no scripture for that. Maybe the accuser doesn't put you at the high point of the temple, but instead he takes you to your past and offers you a free pass for one more day in that stronghold that had you bound. And he tells you it's okay, because God won't allow you to get back into your addiction. But listen, every word matters. Yes. Proverbs 18 and 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. We're covered under the protection of God when we stay in his refuge. We must not test God by purposely running into the situations we know for ourselves are not meant for us. The New American Commentary says it this way. They say, we must not test God's faithfulness to his word by manufacturing situations in which we try to force him to act in certain ways. Amen. Jesus said to him again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. If we're spiritually distracted, we may not remember to respond to the attacks of the enemy with God's word. But when we are immersed in God's word, it springs forth from our soul. Every word matters. We don't need to run into the fire to get God's attention. Amen. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I did childish things. But when I became a man, I put those things away. Amen. So here we go. If we look further, we find Jesus takes Satan again. He said, well, that didn't work. Let me take him to a higher place. He takes him from the high point of the temple, and then he brings him to the high point of a mountain. Here in this spiritual attack, he's not only trying a different approach, but he's also trying a different viewpoint. And listen, you may have seen that. You may have recognized that if you've been a mature Christian, to see where he turns around and the enemy was coming this way, but that didn't work. And so now he's trying to come at you from another side. The eighth verse reads, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. You might want to say that. Be gone, Satan.
Be gone, Satan.
That's right. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Amen. Verse 11, then the devil left him. And behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Praise God. Listen, Jesus may have been regaining his strength, or maybe he was just tired of Satan being in his house. And the word reads, Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. Jesus speaks in the authority that he has as the Son of God. He says, be gone, Satan, because every word matters. Jesus speaks in the same authority that has been extended to us as children of God, the only God, the Most High God. With the same authority, we can speak to the accuser that has come towards us in our own life. We can turn and say, be gone, Satan. Jesus could have stop there, but we see the word of God springing up from him. He's weak in his flesh from the fasting, but he's strong in the spirit from his obedience and prayer. And he says again, for it is written, gives him some more word. And so my question for the church today is this. Will we begin to respond in our spiritual attacks like Jesus and speak in our authority and tell the accuser that has showed up at our door, be gone, Satan. Will we take the time and plan the time to get enough of God's word in us so that we can withstand the fiery darts of the enemy? Every word matters. After Jesus had spoken this word, verse 11 says to us, the devil left him. And behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Amen. 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 Tell him to leave and allow God's rest to come in and minister to you. Amen. So I'm asking this morning, is this the day that every word matters? Is this the day that you say, be gone, Satan? Is this the day that you tell the Lord, you are my God and only you will I serve? The doors of the church are open, meaning today is the day of salvation. This is the right now moment that God has made himself available for you, that you might see him for who he is and know him in the depth of his love towards you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus the Christ is our Messiah and our Savior. And because God's love reached you in this moment, if you have faith and believe in him, then you can have eternal life with the Father forevermore. But you must tell Satan to be gone. Send him away, along with all of his deceptions, everything he's trying to tell you that he can supply your needs, everything that he says he's going to do for you, tell him to be gone. Let him pass away and let Christ live in you in glory. Listen, 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 this is why it catches us sometimes, even when we've come to the word, even when we're in the church, we're in the body of Christ, but our flesh can be weak and Satan will speak to our hunger. But listen, he cannot satisfy us. He'll draw attention to our pain, but listen, he cannot heal us. He will promise us the entire world. But he has no authority unless we give it to him. Amen. But in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, is salvation, deliverance, healing, and abundance of joy. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we offer now at this altar, in the name of Jesus, an opportunity to receive the promises of God written in his holy word and available to those who believe. Will you come? Will you accept the call of Jesus to your heart? Will you come and meet him at the altar today? Will you come and receive the promised Messiah? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to say hello to your pastor for us. And if you're looking for a church fellowship in Philadelphia, we'd love to see you this Sunday at 11 a.m. Open Door Baptist Church, 1632 North 26th Street, zip code 19121.
More information is online at opendoorbaptistphilly.com. and Instagram at Open Door Baptist Philly. Until next week, stay encouraged and always remember, God loves you.